This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham. We're going to talk some, today we're going to talk some WWE news, WWE TV news. We'll get into also my three most famous followers on Twitter. That's kind of an interesting topic I stumbled into this weekend, trying to make some sense of some of the weekend time, all the rain we've had. Sure, you've had a lot of rain here in Virginia. You've had a lot of rain in Atlantic in general. I read that the Richmond area had 10 plus inches of rain over the last 5 days, I think it was. I haven't gotten a figure. I haven't looked up what the Shenandoah Valley's gotten, but it feels like close to 10 inches. And I tell you, it's been a lot of wet days. And even now, as I'm recording this podcast, close to 7 o'clock Monday night, we had a sunny day, nice day, and then now it's clouding up. Looking, it might rain again. You know, I know the rain's good for the farmers. I know the rain's good for the flowers, but it's also bad for the pollen, which is, I don't know for you folks out there, if you've had bad pollen this year, you know, bad issues with allergies this year, I should say. It's been awful for me, and it's been compounded by, you know, I did some sleuthing on the internet, medical issues. My medical issue du jour as of about 6-7 weeks ago was issues with nosebleeds, and off and on issue for years for me, but I never really took it seriously because it was an off and on issue. When I say off and on, I mean, you know, once every 3 or 4 weeks, I'd wake up with a nosebleed. Not terribly serious, but this past winter and then into the spring, it got serious in the sense of I'd wake up every morning with a nosebleed. Sometimes I'd go for a run, I'd have a nosebleed. Driving to baseball games, I'd have a nosebleed. And so finally decided to do the sleuthing on the internet, figure out what the issue is. And apparently, you know, at least what I decided the issue may be, use of antihistamines to dry out your nose. I mean, that's how antihistamines work to help solve your allergy problems. They dry your nose out, and then part of that drying your nose out can also over-dry your nose out and make it susceptible to, you know, to bleeding, especially when you blow your nose a lot. So a couple factors going together, I decided, okay, here's what I got to do. Got to stop the antihistamines and be careful blowing my nose. Well, I've done that, and I've had one nosebleed in the last, I'd say, 7 weeks. So problem solved, right? Except for this terrible allergy season. It feels like my head is leaking out through my nose, like my brains are somehow oozing out through my nose. A big part of my workout, I do push-ups. Sometimes I get in the floor to do a push-up, you know, to do a set of push-ups, and it just feels like turning on a water faucet. Or if I'm, like I was doing some rearranging of my desk, I stand up, look over, you know, to do something, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, just like I'm like literally turning on water faucet. So, you know, problem solved in one area causes problems in the other, but whatever, it's all related, all goes together. I guess what I'm doing is I'm placing on the scale of justice, bleeding out of the nose versus just random stuff dripping on your nose. I will take random stuff because that's not blood. That, you know, the blood scared the hell out of me, honestly. This other stuff is just something I got to deal with. So that's life. That's what people say. And I wanted to signal what we're going to talk about on podcast coming up this week. Rod Mullins will join us tomorrow, Tuesday. And Rod and I will talk some NASCAR with the All-Star Race this past weekend. We'll talk about the Coca-Cola 600 coming up this weekend in NASCAR. I'll also talk about his weekend at Bristol covering some short track racing going on down there. He interviewed Rusty Wallace, talking some serious NASCAR stuff with Rusty. And so we'll talk with Rod about that tomorrow, Tuesday. And then Wednesday, Scott German and I will get together. We pretty much know we're not going to be talking UVA sports. You know, UVA sports, Scott and I, at least once a week, all year long, we talk UVA sports about something. We have done a good job. It's middle of May, almost late May now. I guess technically late May because we're past the 21st today. You know, the last basketball game for UVA basketball was played back in too early, middle of March. The football team had spring practice. We didn't really do much with that. Baseball team is going to, unless it runs a table down in Durham in the ACC baseball championship, its season ends either basically effectively tomorrow or Thursday. NC State and Florida State in their pool of the ACC tournament. If UVA loses either game, they're not going to advance in the ACC baseball championship, and they need to not only advance, they need to win the damn thing to play in the NCAA tournament for a 15th year under Brian O'Connor, 15th straight year under Brian O'Connor. So It used to be the baseball could keep us occupied until close to July 1st, and then we'd go to the ACC football kickoff, and then as you know, the season would go on. Well, anyway, we don't have that luxury this year. So what we're going to do Wednesday, Scott and I were, after our last podcast last week when I had Scott on, we had this great debate about the designated hitter, about interleague play, about Shohei Ohtani, that I wish I'd have just left the recorder going on the computer, and turned it into a second podcast. But we're gonna, kind of got our stuff together, and Wednesday Scott and I will break down all those topics. We'll talk some really hardcore inside baseball stuff. It's coming up on Wednesday, so and then we'll figure out what else we'll do the rest of the week. Kind of go with the news flow as far as that goes, but. Going with the news flow today, getting back to where we started, SmackDown, WWE, and WWE has been renegotiating its TV contracts or shopping to new bidders, as the case may be. Last week, the news was that NBC Universal, parent company of the USA TV Network, long time home of WWE programming, except for a brief run when Vince McMahon shopped it out and got the old Nashville Network, Spike TV, whatever it's called now, Viacom. For about a five-year period, USA and WWE have been together since the late 70s. Well, NBC Universal, parent company of USA, last week announcing that it will continue with just Raw though. In 2019, it will broadcast Raw on Monday nights, and it's actually tripling the rights fee. Big news for WWE. Close to $300 million expected. We haven't gotten an actual figure yet on that. Between $250 million, $300 million. Just for Raw on a weekly basis per year. So that's huge news for WWE. But what that meant was SmackDown, theoretically, was without a home. And the talk last week when NBC Universal sort of passed on SmackDown, well, it could fall to Amazon. It could fall to Facebook. Fox would maybe put it on FS1, that ESPN ripoff that nobody watches. So, so great news for Raw, but maybe terrible news for SmackDown. If it was going to end up on anything other than something the equivalent of USA Network, you'd have to wonder about the commitment of WWE to that roster. Well, now the news is different. Because the news today is that Fox, not FS1, not, anything, no secondary, not FX or anything else, Fox, Broadcast Network Fox, is going to be the home of SmackDown starting in October of 2019. For $1 billion over 5 years, $200 million a year. Now, the show will move from Tuesdays to Fridays. SmackDown has a long history on Fridays, Thursdays and Fridays. No word yet. It's too early to tell whether that means a taped SmackDown or a live SmackDown on Fridays. But no word on the length of the show, likely 2 hours. Fox gives its local affiliates 2 hours of primetime programming on weeknights. So, and those affiliates have 10 o'clock local news, 10 o'clock local time local news. So, 2 hours is what it's going to be. No runover time either, I would imagine, on Friday night. So, it's 2 hours. But a lot of good stuff coming out of this now. So, the money's awesome for WWE. You put it all together, and if you're talking $450 to $500 million a year in rights fees, that's a huge windfall for WWE. And this, changes a lot of things for WWE financially. Stocks are going through the roof right now, as they should be, on this great news. I did a column today, 5 things this means for WWE fans. The first thing I looked at was live or taped. Right now, there's 2 schools of thought, I should say, as to live or taped. If you decide to go taped, in the past, when the brand split was in place, I think it was roughly 2003 to 2011. I think I'm right on those dates, but I know it ended in 2011. What WWE did back in those days, now you had a brand split, but the guys sort of worked both shows. For production cost purposes, WWE had Raw live, of course, on Monday nights and Tuesdays taped. So they could have the production team, and they would often book the shows close geographically, if not in the same place geographically, so that they wouldn't have to move their production capabilities, wouldn't have to have people in different places, that kind of thing. They would have to have 2 production teams, in essence. And it was a cost-saving measure, but, it worked. Nobody knew the difference. And, the only problem was, though, the tape show on Tuesday, a live audience watched it, obviously, because it was in an arena somewhere. And spoilers were the big issue. I mean, you know, and that had to hurt ratings, hurt my ratings. If, you know, I'm reading wrestling websites a few times a day, it's hard to avoid spoilers for 3 days. It's hard to avoid spoilers for a couple hours. So you often, I mean, for me personally, and I'm sure a lot of you folks listening out there are wrestling fans, if you kind of, you know, saw a headline or something like that that indicated something and you clicked on the story because you were interested and you saw what happened, you know, if you already know what's going to happen, it's hard to watch the show. I mean, unless it's something really, really big, it's hard to watch the show if you already kind of know where it's going to go. If you tell me the season finale of the series finale of Game of Thrones, yeah, it's going to be hard to get me to get all excited about sitting and watching it, you know, that kind of thing. So so that's the disadvantage. Right now what SmackDown's doing and what WWE's doing with SmackDown, Raw and SmackDown are not just two TV shows. They're two touring brands, too. They do house shows. And they're two almost separate touring companies. And right now the SmackDown group is working on Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays with their house shows, and then Tuesdays they're doing their live TV show, whereas the Raw brand does their house shows on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday have their TV show. And then they, you know, folks get to go home, rest, whatever, get back on the road for the next week. You know, of course, the once a month when there's a pay-per-view, well, I guess we still use that nomenclature, pay-per-view, the live event on the WWE Network, they get together for the Sunday show, and that throws schedules off of both. But now, you know, so what WWE could do, one of two things. They could, you know, still tape on Tuesdays and then have the show go next Friday. Or they could, what makes more logical sense would be they would start their week with Friday. The WWE, the SmackDown touring brand would start their week with a TV taping on Friday, or TV live broadcast on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, still do their house shows. And, you know, we'll see. All this extra money flowing, and I don't know that, you know, you're going to need to worry about whether or not you have two production teams. And, in fact, if you went Friday, Monday, you could kind of justify having your production teams work, you know, both ends of the week, so to speak. And they have the weekend in between to get set up and that kind of thing, have some time off in between, that kind of thing. So I can see that happening, but we'll see. But, I, you know, those are the pros and cons of live tape. Length of the show, I went into the detail there. It's likely to remain 2 hours just because of the Fox TV network limitations. They do two-hour blocks for their affiliates who have 10 o'clock local news. It's going to be a two-hour show. Any thought that it's going to be a three-hour show? And that's actually good news for wrestling fans. It's admittedly kind of hard to sit through 3 hours of wrestling every week. Now, from a marketing perspective, with Raw remaining on USA, which is an NBC Universal company, as I mentioned, and then SmackDown being on Fox, those companies are not friendly companies. I mean, they're obviously competing for eyeballs and everything else. So you're not going to see a lot of cross-promotional stuff, at least in my view. You're not going to see a lot of cross-promotional stuff between the two. I mean, yeah, they can put stuff on their house ads, you know, what they want to do, talking about the next show coming up, but it's going to be limited between the two. Now, that said, you know, and of course with USA, they can just promote the heck out of everything because it's on the same network, and USA and WWE make money as a result of that. Now, that said, you know, it's not bad news for WWE and thus not for wrestling fans that, you know, you're going to see more limited cross-promotion opportunities between Raw and SmackDown because WWE is on Fox now. It's on a broadcast network. It's huge. It's not the old days of broadcast networks back when, you know, you had to get up and go across the room to change channels. But still, you know, you're on one of the big four networks. You're not on UPN. You're not on WB. You know, you're not on something much higher up the dial, so to speak. You're on everybody's basic cable package. You're easily discoverable on Amazon and Hulu and other ways, Sling and other ways of watching TV. I mean, it's hard not to have Fox. If you have TV at all, you've got Fox or access to Fox. But then also, which is going to be very helpful to WWE, is that Fox has rights for MLB games, for NFL games, NASCAR, at least as of now, until NASCAR renegotiates its deal. Definitely opportunities for cross-promotional stuff there. You know, I can just see SmackDown on Friday night, a lot of lead-ins to the, you know, Saturday baseball game, the Sunday football games during football season, the NASCAR races on Sunday, and then vice versa. You know, I can see SmackDown stars doing the gentleman call, start your engines, coin tosses in football games, and et cetera, joining the guys in the booth during broadcasts. So huge from that standpoint for WWE. In addition to the fact they get paid all this money, they get Fox, the power of Fox behind them. So this is going to be massive for WWE. This is, and word is, Hollywood Reporter reported today that WWE actually had a bigger money offer on the table from another network. Didn't say who. We can presume not a broadcast network. We can presume a cable or even, you know, Facebook or Amazon type thing. Bigger money, but WWE said, you know what? This is the value of Fox on top of the money. The value of what Fox can do for us promotionally is just too much. So we got to go with Fox. So it makes sense, you know, to go in that direction. From a product standpoint, last of the things we'll go into as far as this goes. Product standpoint, you know, I'm sure if you're listening to a guy talking wrestling on a podcast, you're thinking, you're a fan, you've been a fan for a while. You may even be an Attitude Era fan. I was actually an Attitude Era fan. I was an NWO Era fan. I was even a predecessor to that. I've been a fan of wrestling since the 1980s when I was a teenager, first came into wrestling. I've had the fortune to work in wrestling the last, you know, off and on the last few years. But yeah, some of my favorite memories are of the Attitude Era, the ECW Era, the NWO Era, and WCW. And you're not going to see that come back. If you're, and you've been hoping for it for a long time. Whenever I look at the blogs, the wrestling stratosphere of the internet, you know, you have a large segment of fans saying, can we please get the edgier wrestling back? This kids-focused stuff is, you know, it's not for us. And, you know, can we please get some DX back, some NWO back, you know, some Jerry Lawler and Jerry the King, or Jim Ross, Jerry the King, Lawler kind of stuff. From their heydays, it's just not going to happen. And the reason why is precisely because of what's happened positively for WWE. The money that you and NBC Universal and Fox are throwing at Vince McMahon, it's a validation of the strategy that Vince started with about 10 years ago when he toned down the Attitude Era and went from PG-13 or even PG-17 in some cases to straight PG with the content. It was all aimed at what the news we've been hearing the last week or two. It's been aimed at, you know, more money from advertisers and more money from broadcast partners, more particularly broadcast partners. And you tone down the content and you get more eyeballs on message. It's family friendly. You know, WWE's been drawing this. I mean, in fact, the ratings are lower now than they've been in for years. But, you know, it's still something that on a weekly basis is live, especially if it's live. And that's, I think, going back to number one, I think it will stay live. But it's live event TV and sports programming and WWE sports entertainment. You might see more emphasis on the sports, at least for advertisers, as we edge closer to 2019. But, you know, in this era of binge-watching Netflix, being able to DVR what you want to, etc., live event programming is very premium for advertisers because, you know, you can't fast-forward, you can't fast forward through the commercials if you're watching it live. That's the thought. So that's why sports is still very valuable. Live event sports is very valuable from a programming perspective because it gets those advertisers to you know pony up the money. And so yeah, that's as a result of that. Yeah, they're it's going to stay toned down unless it gets even more PG. That's just reality. And it's fine. You know, as a fan of wrestling, they're still, you know, if WWE is doing this well financially. That means that there's going to be more opportunities for TNA Impact type companies, ROH. New Japan is doing well in, you know, Japan infiltrating the United States market. You know, if WWE is raising the boat, it's going to lift everybody up, you know, that's in the water with them. More people getting paid to work in wrestling is better for everybody. So I think this is good bottom line, good down the line. But WWE itself is going to stay. It's going to be the big boy at the top. It's going to keep things sanitized. And if you like the edgier stuff, which I do, and I'm sure a lot of you fans out there listening do, you're just going to have to get your edgier stuff from your New Japan, from your Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, and from TNA Impact and groups like that. And of course, you know, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, other places like that. But you're not going to get it from WWE. But that said, you know, again, it's good for the business that the broadcast networks are valuing the business the way they are. It's good for the business. So switching gears, I wrote another column today, and this is totally random, but talked about the rain this weekend in the Mid-Atlantic. So, you know, and it was a good weekend, too, for me. My baseball broadcasting season's over. There's still a lot of college baseball going on, of course, pro baseball. But I do college baseball for ESPN. have done so the last three springs. But my season's over as the regular season transitions to postseason. I'm no longer needed, unfortunately for me. So this past weekend was my first weekend off in quite a while. The last few weekends have been very busy. This past weekend, I'm thinking, oh man, get to go out and do some fun stuff, and then it rains all weekend. So I'd cleared my schedule and then had nothing to do, which is fine. It's probably the better situation in the end. When you're really, really tired, you know, and you still want to go run and do stuff, it's best when you don't get to go run and do stuff. So I was messing around on Twitter. It was actually yesterday. And don't know how this came up, but I started looking. You know, when you're bored, you'll do some fun things sometimes, inadvertently. So I was looking through my Twitter account, and I clicked on the people who follow me. I don't know why. You know, anybody can do that. And I've got 2,400 some followers, or whatever. Not a lot. I'm not. I'm not Barack Obama or who else? Justin Bieber, or anybody like that. But I wanted to see who likes me. You know, I mean, you know, just see who's out there. And so didn't mean for this to turn into anything. I'm just kind of looking around. So I scroll all the way to the bottom of my account. And when you're looking through 2,400 names, it takes you a little bit of time. I saw that I mentioned Barack Obama. I saw that Barack Obama's account follows me. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. I mean, you know, that's interesting. You know, it didn't register with me like why that would be the case. Barack Obama follows. I looked it up, 662,000 people. So that account follows a lot of people, and I'm sure it's not Barack himself. It's whoever manages the social media for him. But it was still interesting. I mean, like, so. I thought, you know, I'm a writer, write some fun topics. Let's pan through the rest of this here and see who else follows me that might be famous or whatever. So I'm looking through there, and yes, you know, and it's a lot of folks. I mean, a lot of UVA sports fans who follow us for our UVA sports coverage. I interact with a lot of those folks. It's kind of fun. Some of those people have interesting jobs. You know, there's doctors and lawyers and elected officials across the country who are UVA alums, and then there are, you know, a number of people who were, you know, for our local news. You know, we're based in Waynesboro, Virginia, 20 miles west of Charlottesville. So a lot of folks who I could tell, just based on their geography, are likely people who follow us. Just again for our local news coverage, a lot of folks, you know, a good segment of folks, I should say, who are fellow journalists. That we all follow each other to see what we're writing about, you know, that kind of thing. Innocent stuff like that. So I'm scrolling through, and then I see that the TV show The Handmaid's Tale is following me. And I know about the show. It's an award-winning show on Hulu. I've wanted to start binge-watching it. Just haven't gotten around to it. I have to admit, which is terrible because, you know, the official Twitter account of Handmaid's Tale follows me. So I had to admit. So I wrote in the column, yeah, I have to admit that this TV show follows me. And I haven't even watched it yet, but looking forward to starting it. It's a show sort of set in the future, dystopian future. Women are vessels, et cetera, et cetera. It's an interesting statement on our times. Just haven't gotten into it yet. And so then I'm thinking, okay, I like to do things in threes. I guess that's the baseball guy in me. You know, three outs. Three bases, you know, number nine being important in baseball too, nine players in the field, nine innings. So, you know, it's a three squared. So I'm a three guy. So I'm a threes guy. So do things in threes. So I wrote, you know, the two most famous people would be Barack Obama and The Handmaid's Tale, even though it's not a person. Who might the third most important person be? Most significant person be? And it was easy when I scrolled through. Dick Vitale. Dickie V. Dickie V and I follow each other. You know, it's easy for me to follow anybody, you know, just like it is for you. The Dickie V came up. I had to write about this again. I wrote about this a couple years ago. It wasn't the most pleasant of beginnings of Twitter friendships. Now, Dickie V, I should say, prefacing that, Dickie V had been a guest on a radio show, sports radio show that I co-hosted, founded more than a decade ago. Ran into him. He was broadcasting a UVA basketball game. I got the nerve up to say, hey, Dick, would you like to be a guest on our show? And he said, yes. And so he was gracious. He did our show. He did a liner for our show, which we played, you know, those things where it says, hey, I'm Dickie V and ACC Nation's awesome, that kind of thing. So, you know, that was very nice. I remember when I called him, dialed up his phone number, and I'm very conscious of how, you know, I want to get the number exactly right because you don't want to, you know, mess the number up and – you know, misdial and call, you know, one number off, and then you annoy somebody, you feel like a, you know, dumbass saying, is Dickie V there? Is Dick Vitale there? I talked with Dick Vitale. So I dial the number. I'm very conscientious about how I'm dialing the number. And then, you know, the person answers the phone and says, hello. And I'm like, oh, God. You know, I'm thinking in my head, and this all happens in like a split second. I've misdialed, or I wrote the number down wrong, or whatever. Wires got crossed. I've called somebody who probably gets a million phone calls saying, are you Dick Vitale? And this person is going to bite my head off. I feel like an idiot. And I let the words out. I'm calling for Dick Vitale, please. Which are just, you know, when you're expecting him to answer the phone, I guess. Hey, it's Dickie V, baby. Is this ECC Nation? You know, and it's not. He just says hello. And so I, you know, let the words out. And, you know, this is Chris Graham calling from ACC Nation. I'm calling for Dick Vitale. And then he turns into Dick Vitale. Hey, it's Dick Vitale, baby. It's Paisa, you know. And so great conversation. We only did it once. Didn't want to overplay her hand, you know, just in and out. Got it done. Fun time. Fun interview. Okay. So that said, you know, that was, I think, in 2006 or 2007. 9, 10 years later. Dick Vitale tweets after a UVA Duke basketball game. You might remember the game. If you're a UVA sports fan, you would remember the game. Duke won at the buzzer. Malcolm Brogdon had made a layup with about 10 seconds to go to give Virginia a 1-point lead. Duke, Grayson Allen made a shot at the buzzer. He jump stopped, then he stepped, which is a walk. Then he jumped again, landed, shot. So there's two walks on that play. Cleared out with his elbow, offensive foul on the play, makes a shot at the buzzer. Questionable whether he even got the shot off. All that said, you know, basket counts, Duke wins game. At Duke, of course. All this goes on. It's a typical Duke ending. And UVA fans were livid, and understandably so, at the ending. But, you know, it's a basketball game. You know, life goes on kind of thing as far as me, the journalist, is concerned. The fan in me was a little miffed, but, you know, not so much. So I wrote my game story, wrote a column, and I'm just trolling around on the internet. As you can see, there's a pattern there. And I happened to come across a comment somebody had retweeted from Dick Vitale, you know, who was up in arms with how UVA fans – Dick had called the game, by the way, that day – up in arms with UVA fans for you know, being critical of Duke and being critical of ACC officials, etc., for how that game ended. And I took offense to it and didn't think, you know, and I'll be honest, I didn't write this even in the column I wrote 2 years ago about this, but I wasn't even thinking. I retweeted and said, retire already. And that was harsh, admittedly. It was way too harsh. I mean, a lot of folks say that. I'm a Dick Vitale fan. Not, you know, he doesn't break down next to the nose. He hasn't in probably 40 years. He loves the game. He's enthusiastic. Dick Vitale shows up at your game. You know, you get excited that Dick Vitale's there, even at this late stage in his career, very late stage in his career. You know, he adds something to it that it doesn't matter that he doesn't talk X's and O's and probably has forgotten the X's and O's by this point. He just adds something to the game outside of all that. Howard Cosell, right, from back in Monday Night Football days, back in the 70s. So. But, you know, so I respond, retire already. It's, you know, not nice. And I've tweeted a couple other things in that, you know, just basically saying, you know, spelling out the play, and UVA fans weren't wrong to have issue. You know, there's lots of fan bases out there that would raise a stink about this kind of situation happening. And Dick Vitale, out of character almost, you know, tweeted, and I want to get this quoted right. I mean, I like the guy now, but this was pretty tough. he tweeted, let's see, he said, I agree with those who felt the refs were going to let the players determine the finish. I bet the W by Duke was Coach K's best birthday gift. I said, at least Billis and Jay Will pretend to be unbiased. They're actual Duke grads. Game needs to be called the same in the last minute as the other 39. That's letting the players determine a W. Allen went 7-for-8 at the line over a 4-minute stretch on dribble drives nowhere near the basket. You know, I was talking basketball. Vic Vitale says, get off your negative, bitter way of life. You made your point. I don't blow the whistle anymore, and I must block you. So he's blocking me. And I wrote a column that night about being blocked by Vic Vitale. Like, you know, God, that's pretty bad, you know? You pissed off the happiest guy in the world to the point where he blocks you on Twitter. And, you know, I mean, I looked at it, except for the, you know, you need to retire thing. It was more a matter of, I was breaking down, you know, the arguments UVA fans would have. You know, the 7-for-8 at the line on plays where he wasn't shooting when he got, you know, got fouled, so to speak. You know, the discrepancy in foul calls that half. I mean, I was breaking all that down pretty quickly. And, I mean, he's got 922,000 followers. I tweeted like 4 times at him, and he blocks me for negative comments. So I wrote a column about that, you know, and basically at the end of the column I wrote, you know, I'm not negative, not bitter. I love my job. Part of my job is writing about basketball. There are worse ways to make a living than what I'm talking about it now. I mean, there's worse ways to make a living. And I make a good living. Very fortunate to do so. Next morning, you know, Dickie V tweets, hey, I saw your points. You know, you made good points. You know, and it was all over. It was good. You know, and he, you know, instead of just tweeting back, he actually followed me. He's interacted with me the last couple of years. Often, well, not every day or anything like that, but during basketball season, you know, I'll get random Dickie V shout outs on Twitter. And so, yeah, that's number one. I mean, I've listed number 3 in the column, but that's got to be number 1 because, you know, to this point, Barack Obama or The Handmaid's Tale haven't interacted with me. So Dickie V wins. But it's kind of funny. You know, I would say to you folks out there, you know, go out and check your Twitter accounts, see who's following you. Just see, you know. Maybe even tweet at me or comment on our website. Who's your most famous person who follows you? Or famous account, you know, because Handmaid's Tale is not a person. But just fun to do that kind of stuff every once in a while. You know, in addition to, for me, I curated some lists. You know, it rained a lot yesterday. I put together a funny news list with, you know, what, Fail Army and, you know, some websites that post humorous videos, and I created a list of dog-related things I follow. My wife and I have 6 dogs, so created a list of that. Created a politics list, people I follow for politics news. Created a UVA football list, UVA football players plus people who write about it. UVA basketball list, same thing, basketball players plus people who write about it, coaches and that kind of thing as well. So, yeah, I had a lot of time. It rained a lot here this week, so I had a lot of time to do all that stuff. But, yeah, check your stuff out there. Check your Twitter out. That's why I like Twitter more than Facebook. You know, I don't know, being a Facebook friend to somebody feels like you actually have to know them, whereas just following somebody can be pretty passive. And then when they follow you back, especially, you know, Dick Vitale is not going to be my Facebook friend. We're not going to trade recipes, invite each other to cookouts and that kind of thing. But, you know, Barack Obama, Dick Vitale, or, you know, writers out there that we, you know, mutually follow each other, you know, you can, you know, kind of keep up with them. And, you know, I like the ones personally. I mean, I try to do this with mine. I post a lot of stuff. If you follow me on Twitter, you already know this and you're probably bored with me. But, you know, I link to my stories that I write, but I also will post my thoughts. I'll post some funny things, you know, retweet some funny things, that kind of thing. So I like the ones with more personality. You know, some of the writers I follow kind of just stick to the, for the topic. Maybe they have to because of their company social media policy. I set my company social media policy. It's expansive. And I like the ones that show a little bit more personality personally. So if you follow me, you'll get personality. There's no question about that. So that'll wrap our podcast up for today. I mentioned that tomorrow, Tuesday, talking to Rod Mullins, talking to some NASCAR, some auto racing. Wednesday, Scott German and I will go to bat over the designated hitter. And all I got to do is say that. You'll want to listen. So follow Augusta Free Press. We'll have the latest on UVA baseball tomorrow as they play in the ACC Baseball Championship, trying to extend their season if possible. And we'll see what else we get into. For that, I sign off, wishing everyone a good day. And as I sign off every broadcast, UVA alum that I am, wahoo wah.